Let's rock and roll. Philippians chapter 4, continuing our series in the gratitude. Gratitude. We are approaching some of the most wonderful holidays of the year, but it is also some of the most difficult time for, if not all, of us, some or not all of us. This is the time of the year where we begin to start worrying about finances. Can I afford it? What party do I go to? What do I get my kids? How do I navigate through this holiday season? Do I need to pick up extra shifts? Do I need to take out my savings? Do I need to cut back? How do I manage my in-laws? How do I manage my trips? How will I ever get over this relationship that has been broken, but now it's the holiday season? How do I deal with that? And maybe at the dinner table will be an empty chair as well. So this season coming up can be very difficult for some, if not all of us. And don't forget, you know, we think about which cousin's going to ruin Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, right? That always happened as well. And just a reminder in Philippians, this is just a reminder from last week, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Last week we spoke about what if we approach this season not with stress and worry, with credit cards and bank accounts, but with the definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Essentially, we conclude last week that gratitude is focusing on the quality of our hearts before the quality of our lives, or of our stuff. So the reason we get into all these worries and stress and lack of time and loss of sleep during this time of the year, because we worry about the stuff and not the heart. So when we take a step back from what the world wants of us and immerse our hearts into what God wants, or what God wants from us, our minds and our soul, into the scripture, we invite God to influence our decisions and our thoughts and our emotions. And inevitably, that will shape our action. And when God is in the forefront of what we do, the driving force in all of our action, we begin this process that a lot of us will go throughout the year of transformation and into a deeper faith and trust that overshadows or minimizes stress or anxiety for the season. I know I said a lot just now, but we're going to walk through it in a little bit. So scientifically, it's proven and studied that stress leads to these things in our lives. It affects us physically. Here are the list. Minor memory loss. That's what stress and anxiety does. Minor memory. You know how you forget things? This morning you saw me running around frantically. I didn't know I was stressed, but I didn't know where my sermon was. I walk up here, usually my sermon is sitting right there, and this morning I forgot where I put it. So I had to run around the whole sanctuary looking for it. Thank God I found it. Some of you guys are probably wishing, I wish you didn't find it, but too bad, I found it, so you're going to hear it, okay? Minor memory loss, gastrointestinal problems, decreased immunity, weekend headaches, only on the weekends, right? Weekdays, no headaches. Stress, anxiety, only on the weekends. That's scientifically said, weekend headaches, eye twitching, right? Reduce energy. So if you see a lady out somewhere, single guys, and you see a girl twitching her eyes, that she's not winking at you, she is stressed out, all right? She is not winking at you, she is stressed out. Reduce energy, faster heartbeat, teeth grinding, increased period cramps, ladies, I feel for you. Weird dreams, increased craving for sweets. That's why you gain weight when you're stressed out. All of us. Itching, acne breakout, and bleeding gums. These are the physicality, the physical changes in your body when you are stressed out. You know, when I think about that description, I had a couple examples that I want to show, but the one that comes to mind is I think of the sloth. All right, have you guys ever seen the movie The Goonies? And the sloth at that one part is going, "Hey, you guys!" You know, like on the outside we look great, but on the inside we're just like crying for help. Like, "Hey, you guys, help! You left me down here hanging." That's what I think about when I think of that list of stress this season. But then I also got a reminder from Proverbs in chapter 3, verse 7. It says this, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Essentially, it's saying when God is at the forefront, the driving force of our actions, we begin this process, a process in us, not only physically, but spiritually, transformation into this deeper faith and trust that overshadows, minimizes our stress and anxiety. That's pretty much what Proverbs is saying. Not only does it help us mentally, but it also helps us physically when God is at the forefront, that we don't rely on our own wisdom, but in the wisdom of God. So when we rely on the wisdom and of God and we immerse ourselves in the scripture and everything we do is from the scripture, essentially it changes our mindset, but also it changes the body. These are the better physical changes in your body if you let God lead in all your decisions. Better sleep. Someone always asked me, like, "How do you sleep so well at night?" Because I know God is in control. Doesn't matter how hard my day is. Doesn't matter what is going on in my life. You can ask Liz. 10 p.m., I am out. I'm going to sleep. When I tell Liz, I'm going to sleep. That's it. I'm done. How do I do that? Because I know God is in control. Lower blood pressure. Improved digestion. Reduce muscle tensions, boost immune system. So if these things are happening in your body, essentially you feel better, you act better, you're happier because you're minimizing stress because all of your action comes from the Lord. How do I do this? Right? That's the question. That's easy for a pastor to say because you're the pastor. That's the things you need to say. That's the things you're supposed to say. How do I do this? So leaving Proverbs, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's break this down again. Chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. "Do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This seems like an impossible advice, doesn't it? Don't you hate it when people just say to you after you spill your guts out to them, "Like, I'm going through this, I'm shortage of this, I'm stressed about this, my kids this, my family this, I gotta fly here, I gotta fly there, I got bills to pay, I'm behind on some of the things, my work," all, you spill your guts out to them, and then their answer to you is what? "Yeah, just pray about it." "Just pray about it. Just trust God." That's what it's saying. It seems like an impossible advice, an impossible task. So essentially what this is telling us is that gratitude is worshiping God in all of our circumstances. It says by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Recognize this. This is not just something we sit down and say, "Oh, just pray about it." And say a couple words to God and say, "God, I need your help. And God, you know, I love you and bless my day." No, this is a description. This is a description of how to combat anxiety and stress, talking with God, crying to God, raising our voices to God, our hearts towards God, asking God for help. You can cry, you can get on your knees, you can shout, you can sing. This is like giving your whole self to God. Say, "God, I'm going through this and I need your help for guidance and for peace." And even that seems simple. Or is it impossible? This letter was written to the church in Philippi. That might not mean a whole lot to you, but let me get in a little bit deeper. This is how this letter came to be. Listen to what Paul says at the beginning of this letter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. It's on the screen. Now that I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole place, the palace guard, and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is revealing to us, to the people that he wrote this letter to, he was what? He was what? He was in prison. Paul was in prison for the first time. Because he got out and then he went on and preached the gospel again. He got in prison again. This is the first time he was in prison and he wrote this letter to Philip, to the Philippian church. This is the first church that he started in his second missionary trip in the book of Acts. But here's another incredible history behind this place. Philippi, it's where Brutus and Cassius assassinated Julius Caesar. Remember that old movie drama, Shakespeare? Brutus staff Caesar, and Caesar goes, "E tu, Brutus." You guys remember that? Any of you guys pay attention in your history class? "E tu, Brutus." I think that's how it went. And then, I got to get my facts right so you don't get confused, and I don't confuse myself either, okay? Brutus and Cassius went to Philippi and started an army. And Octavian, okay, let me get my facts right here. Octavian and Anthony, Mark Anthony and Octavian overthrew Brutus in Philippi. And then Octavian betrayed Mark Anthony and went and married Cleopatra in Egypt. Now, this is where it gets scary. Mark Antony defeated Cleopatra and Cassius in Philippi. And after this, Octavian made Philippi as an extension of Rome. They call it Little Rome. That means the people who lived in Rome. I want you to hear how dangerous this is. To ensure loyalty to Rome. If you betray Rome and you live in Philippi, you are destined for death or persecution. That means if you became a Christian in Philippi, your walls are crumbling in. You have nowhere to go. If you profess that you are a Christian in Philippi, you are destined to get on the cross. So these people, not only did they lose Rome's privileges, constantly on the move, they receive a letter from Paul, who was a terrorist, now in jail, send a letter to these people where their walls are crumbling in, and this is what it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." This is a little bit more intense than holiday season or dinner with your boss or our own little family situation, isn't it? When the world around us seems to be crumbling, caving in, November and December is coming. It's approaching fast. Trips and presents, parties and social events, just to think about it gives you the anxiety. The shouting and the fighting between kids, the job search, the chair is empty at the Thanksgiving dinner because that person is no longer here. The bonus check never came. Company is cutting back and you are on the list. You're running on empty. Your bank account gets empty. Before you know it, you're spiritually empty. And you receive this letter. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let me bring this a little closer. This letter, it's also being received by our brothers and sisters in Christ in Palestine, in Gaza, in Israel, right now. We're reading this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We're reading this in the American mindset of job loss in the holiday season. But these same words are echoing to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are running and dodging from bullets and finding shelters in the Middle East right now. And they're reading the same thing. Just perspective on how the scripture applies into all of us. Prayer is not just sitting down and say, God, help me. Prayer, this attitude of gratitude, this idea of gratitude is we sing, we shout, we write it down. Sometimes we cry. We go to church. We reach out to a Christian brother or sister. We give. We volunteer. We appreciate the things we do have and ask God to sprinkle a little bit on top of a bonus, right, on the top of it. My point to you is sometimes life situations can take away our smile, but it doesn't have to take away our worship. Amen. I don't think you're hearing me. If I was in the, you know, this, I can stomp around and say, life can take away my smile for a moment, but it's not going to take away my worship. Amen. Amen. Can you hear from someone in the back? Amen. Man, I know you're having a hard time. I know some of us are going through some serious, difficult times. And because of a pastor, I know more than you do, obviously. And I look at some of the faces in here, and I kind of know what you're going through. And sometimes it can take away your smile for a moment, but I hope it doesn't take away your worship. I want you to know that it can't take away your worship. Amen? Man, gratitude is worshiping God in all circumstances. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. It's a Sermon on the Mount. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on just by every seat or each row, every row. Chapter 6, verse 25. Which need to be reminded of this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body that you will, what you will wear. It's not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grows? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there's this old saying. One day, what? At a time. Jesus is giving us the most practical blueprints. Hey, I love you. You're my children. And look at the fields. Look at the birds. I've been taking care of them in all of creation. But you worrying what you have and what you don't have is not going to add a day to your life. But first, worry about the condition of your heart. Does it have me in it? Do you worship? The life can take away your smile for a moment, but don't let it take away your worship. And it doesn't have to take away your worship, because at the end of the day, your worship, what matters to me most, and what you actually wear or have or eat. One day at a time. I hope it's going to come up and help us worship through this song together. So let's stand. Amen, amen. Please be seated. I hope that song ministered to you more than anything I could say. But these same passages of scripture, don't be anxious about anything, and everything by prayer and petition, giving all your requests to God, and his understanding surpasses all of our understanding. There was a point in my life where the wall seems to be craving in, where there's no end. Like, how do we move forward from here? Where I had just lost a job, and we also just bought a house, and then immediately after we bought the house, a couple months later, I lost my job, and Liz was a teacher, and in this, what do we do? Where do we go from here? Do we go on job interviews and look for somewhere else, or do we remain faithful and stay here and do ministry here? What do we do? But instead of me sharing what I went through, I want you to hear from my wife's perspective. When it seems like the walls of her husband is craving in, how does a wife respond? So let's come forward. Give her the microphone right there. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm Liz, if you don't know me, and we definitely have been through our fair share of, you had to start crying and then, thank you, priming the pump. We've had our fair share of disappointments and discouragements and even depression at times, and I think I found the secret to, in general, worshiping despite your circumstances. And it actually comes from the same chapter that New was reading through today. So let me pull that up. And within this passage is a verse that I'm pretty sure most of you, even people who aren't really in the church or know the Bible, they've heard it before. A lot of times it's used out of context. And so, as he said, Paul was in jail at the time. And he says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. We've never been rich, though. So, globally speaking, yes, but we're still waiting on that. No, I'm just kidding. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's the part that you guys have heard. And in this context, he's talking about being able to worship no matter what's going on. Verse 13, I can do all this. What? Through him who gives me strength, depending on what version. And most people, you know, you'll see it on the eye blacks of a football player, which is awesome. You see it on the back of people's marathon singlets. You see it all on bumper stickers. But he's talking about no matter what's going on, the secret is, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And where does that strength come from? As it just said, you can answer that from God. And even in the armor of God passage, where it talks about the helmet of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the beginning of that passage starts by saying, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in our struggling, not in us trying to be a better person. And I love that all of the pieces of armor are defensive in nature except for one. There's only one piece he lists that's offensive, and I like to fight back and Nu likes to fight back too. You know, fight or flight, we like to fight. And the sword of the Spirit, which you use to fight back, represents the Word of God. Okay, so we use the Bible to fight back. So, you know, during that time, we had to put our eyeballs on the Bible and open it and read it. And when we didn't understand it, we had to ask for help for understanding. We kept showing up to church. We surrounded ourselves with people who were content. We don't like being around people who are always wanting the next new thing or like comparing and trying to one-up each other. We just don't tend to hang out with those people. And I also, sometimes when I would get down about like what we didn't have or what I wish we could have, because there were probably two or three times because of life circumstances, unexpected, that we had to empty our bank account. And one thing that contentment did for us is there would always be something we were saving up for, but we just felt compelled to wait for some reason. And right after that, something, an emergency would happen, or usually a family emergency that someone didn't have any money for. And so we would empty our bank account for that. And sometimes when I would get down about like wanting to renovate our house, or which is such a first world problem, you know, like wishing that my house was nicer, wishing we had a car that the windows rolled down, so when you go to Starbucks, you don't have to open the door and say a full hello to the drive-through person. But instead, I ask myself, what am I using what I have for? Like, my house isn't the nicest. It's definitely not the cleanest. Michelle saw, like, the clean version of our house yesterday, which is not clean. I ask myself, but what are we using our house for? Are we using it to welcome people in, to give them a place to stay when they need it, to give them a place where they're loved? Am I using it to teach my kids well? What are we using our car for? Are we using it to pick people up for church and help people move and things like that? So, and even after having four kids, sometimes you don't even recognize how you look after, you know, and I have to ask myself, what am I using this body for? Am I using it to help people? Am I encouraging people? Am I defending people if need be? And so I think that's what helped me, is surrounding ourselves with people who are content, asking God for help constantly, like as soon as my eyes open, and asking yourself, what am I using what I do have for? That's what's most important. And then just constantly doing what's in front of us. So if you're overwhelmed with your circumstances, you don't know what the next big move is or the next big decision is. I still remember one time I was worrying about something big, like probably during that time. And I was like, God, like, what should we do about it? What should we do? And almost in my head, I heard him say to me, why don't you start with the dishes? Okay, like, do the dishes. And so sometimes you just need to do what's in front of you. And there's so many things we don't know the answer to, but there's plenty that he has given us that we can be faithful with, that we know how to do it, and we need to just move forward with what he has given us to do and let him take care of the bigger stuff.
Yeah. So. And the part of that is God's provision in our lives, where when the resources are limited or whatever, God's provision for our lives is not only to add, but to also...
Yeah, one thing I have to keep in mind, because people say God always provides, and that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, especially what type of doctrine and theology you have. But we do believe that God always provides. Sometimes he provided us exactly what we were asking for, or even more than what we asked for. But here's the hard part. Sometimes he provided us with a chance to cut back of what he had already provided us with. So we've gone down to one car. We actually had one year where both of our cars died in the same year. But sometimes he provides us with chances to cut back on what he's already blessed us with. And sometimes I feel like the biggest thing he provided with us with is contentment. And we actually ask for that. Like even this morning, I was frustrated because one of our car doors isn't working currently. And I said, but you know what? Thank you for this van. Like, it has gotten us where we need to go, and it's kept us safe. And even when it's hot outside, find something to be thankful for. Like, when you're sweating like crazy, just pretend it's a spa day. Or thank God for your lymphatic system, that he created a system in your body that gets toxins out, and that's one of the ways it does it. So you're like, I'm a little bit healthier, and I'm glowing. So you just always have to find something. There's always something to be thankful for.
Yeah, and then during that time, it was she's being a little bit humble about it, but as I was navigating through my life of ministry and where do we go from there, Liz was holding it together, where she was not only a teacher, but she picked up tutoring on the side, and then she picked up being in charge of these after-school program to where she brings in the extra income so that I can continue to navigate through life and ministry as well. So as we read these verses and what God can do in our lives, that even though sometimes the walls can sometimes seems to be a little bit closer and closer and craving in into your lives, it can take away your smile for a moment, but it doesn't take away your worship, who you are as a child of God, that you continue to worship God, you continue to believe in God, you continue to trust God that he will provide. And those provision doesn't mean more stuff. Those provision could mean you being content in cutting back as well. Like you said, we're down to one car. How do you navigate through a family doing different things with one car? She skateboarded to work one day because I needed the car, by the way.
Longboard. I don't have enough.
Longboard. But when you think about this, right? So we read that passage of scripture. Don't be anxious about anything when I just got fired, right? But we also read that passage of scripture now when we're both are working and we have a pretty good thing going on as pastor in your church and whatnot. But then I also think about as the kids or the churches in the Gaza Strip or in the Palestinian cities and in Israel, the Christian brothers and sisters in Christ who are actually opening this Bible and reading these same verses. You know, and then I see you and what you're going through, and you're also opening these verses and you read and you're like, well, that seems like an impossible command. Well, it seems that way, but it doesn't have to be impossible because God is going to do the impossible thing, which is the next part of the sermon next week. I don't want to reveal too much, but you don't want to miss next week, all right? When you read these passages of scripture, our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas, what you're going through now and what Liz and I went through 10 years ago, you are literally asking God to do the impossible. And that will continue next week. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much because you are our firm foundation. You are our rock. You are, we built our house on the rock that's on your name, on your word. Then when life seems to get hard, we are reminded the things that were said to us a long time ago. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, thanksgiving, give you our requests. And with you, it transcends all of our understandings. It might not look like what we want, but it's definitely what you know best. So, Father, as we approach this holiday season, help our heart to have the heart of gratitude. That we worship you in all circumstances. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. 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 As the band come forward, let's stand. As we close out our service today, I hope it was a blessing to you, but ultimately we want you to know that you are a child of God. That whatever you're going through, he's still your father and he's still in heaven and he's looking out at you and he says, I love you and I'm pleased with you. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be your day where you say, I walked through here enough. And maybe today's your first day walking through these doors. And you said, I didn't come here by accident today. I need God in my life, and I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I want to go home to my Father one day. So that's you this morning. I'm inviting you to come up here, and we'll certainly take your confession of faith. We'll walk you through it. And the baptistry is right here. We baptize you. We have clothes for you to change in as well. But also contact me during the week and say, "No, I'm kind of shy. I don't want to get baptized in front of people and whatnot. But can we talk about it?" Certainly. Email me, talk to me, call me. We're here for you. But if life's been beating you down a little bit, our elders and their wives will be up here to pray with you. To receive. Maybe your heart is heavy and you just need someone to pray over you. We're here for you as well. So as our elders and our wives come forward to receive prayers this morning, by way of invitation in this song, we're inviting you during this time.